verses 9 through 12, and we'll get right into this together. I know our purpose is to pray, so I'm hoping to say a few things that will move us, fuel that, and move us in the right direction, and then I'll get out of the way and we can all just go before the Lord and pray. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Let me start just right in the beginning of this passage of scripture and point out that we first see an expression of the Apostle Paul's commitment to pray. And that strikes me because when you think of how our Lord Jesus used the Apostle Paul, what might be the first things that you think of the missionary work, you think of all the writing, of course, of the letters in the New Testament that the Lord used him to do. But sometimes I think that what gets a little overlooked was the commitment that Paul had to pray and how he prayed for people. And he prayed for people in these churches. He prayed for brothers and sisters in Christ, and he prayed tremendous spiritual prayers for them. And this, while this passage isn't itself a prayer, he's describing how he prayed for the people in this church that he's writing to. And it's hard to lift this passage out of its overall context, but time doesn't permit maybe the full treatment of it. But there's certainly enough here for us, I think, to guide us. He starts off by saying, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, and just quickly, we there would be Paul and Timothy. He starts the letter in verse 1 as being from himself and Timothy with him. And then when we heard it, what is it? Back in verse 4, it said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. So Paul hears that that the work is proceeding and going well in Colossae. And he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. What a tremendous thing to say. And it's amazing because they heard what God was doing with these people, Paul and Timothy together, and that was enough. That was enough for them to start praying for them and to not stop and to not give up. And what's amazing about this isn't the only church that he said this to. And in Romans chapter 1, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And then to the Thessalonian church, he said in 1 Thessalonians 1, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. I mean, you read some of these things and you get the impression Paul must have been just praying all the time. And yeah, I'm thinking pretty much that's probably true. Paul spent a lot of time before the Lord, asking the Lord to bless and help and support and strengthen the lives of these Christians. And that is something that, as we think about praying for a revival, I think that's part of revival praying, is that we need to be praying for each other and praying for each other without giving up, praying for each other without ceasing, praying for each other, even when we think here we are, we're praying again, don't really sense much difference from yesterday into today. But, you know, we just need to stay at it and keep at it. Now, that's the first part of just the first verse of this. The rest of it describes the content of what he prayed. First is his commitment to pray, And now the rest of this, we see how he prayed for them, the content of his prayer. So he said, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And there's three things in here. He asks that they would be filled. He asks that they would be strengthened, and he gives thanks for them, right? So just take those quickly one at a time. He starts off by asking that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then when it goes into verse 10, I believe the idea of verse 10 is that is the result of people being filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul knew that these new believers and these new churches would come under oppression and assault, and there will be all sorts of temptations maybe for them to revert back into their old ways. He kind of talks about that in chapter 3 of this letter a little bit. And so he's praying for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And then the result of that would be that they would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Brothers and sisters, this is a cry for God's grace, the continued work of God's grace in their lives. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. And look at this, walk worthy of the Lord. I can't do that in my own strength. Fully pleasing God. How can I please God? I can't please God in my own strength. Fruitful. Well, that's very much, any fruit that I bear is very much the result of God's grace. Increasing spiritual growth in the knowledge of God. We need to be praying for each other that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that this fruit by God's grace might be produced in our lives. We're praying for revival. I think that this is what a revived church would look like. People walking worthy of the Lord, people fully pleasing God, fruitful people, increasing, growing in the knowledge of God. This would, I think, be the objective of revival, is for us to grow into becoming that. And we need to be praying for that, as Paul always did. Then he prayed, verse 11 says, strengthened with all might. If a person is walking the way verse 10 describes, they're going to run into all sorts of opposition from the world, from Satan, from just battles with their own flesh. So Paul prayed for their strength with all might according to his glorious power. He knew that these believers could not do anything in their own strength, so he prayed and asked God for strength for them, that God, by his power, would strengthen them, look, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Not just that they would endure through the hardships that would come, but they would even have, through the Holy Spirit, joy in their hearts as they do. And then thirdly, he was always thankful, giving thanks to the Father. And I love this phrase, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And if you kind of unpack that backwards, the inheritance of the saints in the light, what is that inheritance? Well, God himself, Christ, God our Father, Christ is our inheritance, our place in his kingdom, eternal life. This is the inheritance of the saints in the light, and it is God, our Father, by his grace, who has qualified us, made us meet, as the King James Version says, or made us able to be partakers of this great inheritance. That's all his grace. And so Paul was thanking God. Thank you, Father, that you have made these brothers and sisters partakers of this. So he prays. Without ceasing, since he heard that God was at work, he prays for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will, that they would be strengthened according to his glorious power with all might. And he gives thanks to God because it is he who has qualified us to be partakers of that inheritance. One final thought. There's, in the book of Colossians, also mentioned a little bit of a warning, I guess. In chapter 2, he makes mention of the church, the great conflict that he has for them and for the church in Laodicea. And in chapter 4, he mentions that he had written also a letter to Laodicea. And he wanted this letter read there, and he wanted that letter read here. Well, I'm not sure what the long-term epilogue of the Colossian church was, but we know a little bit about the Laodicean church, right? From what Jesus says some decades later in the book of Revelation, when he's ready to spit them out of his mouth, right? Because they had become very comfortable with the world. They thought they were rich. They thought they had need of nothing, but they were poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. Why? How did they go from this, Paul agonizing for them in prayer, to becoming a church that was what they were there in the early chapters of the book of Revelation? Well, maybe some of that comfort with the worldly things had allowed them to have their prayer times and their prayer lives either fade away or fade in intensity. Maybe they kind of gave up, or maybe their praying was just about earthly matters because they seemed to be very concerned with that. Paul says here in Colossians that when he prayed for these people, he prayed spiritual things filled with the knowledge of his will, strength, thankfulness to God. So in summation, before we go to prayer here, I just want to encourage us all as we pray. Let's not cease to pray for one another and to pray for our churches and to pray for spiritual things for one another, that we might bear all of the fruit that the Lord, by his grace, wishes to bring forth through us.